I'd like to introduce you to our subject. Our subject is strange women and dumb men. You say, where did you get that term, strange women and dumb men? Well, they're biblical terms. And I want to take you to Proverbs chapter 6, where God talks about strange women and dumb men. Now, we've looked at the fact that sex is like a can of Drano. It's a wonderful product, but it has to be used according to the manufacturer's directions. Because if you don't follow the manufacturer's directions, like Drano, sex can explode in your face, it can burn you, it can literally poison you, and it can bring your death. Satan knows that the way to destroy the family and the way to destroy the church is through your sexuality. And so he comes at you in that realm. He wants to seduce you and take you away from righteousness and holiness and godliness and purity. He wants to take you and he wants to twist you. He wants to distort your life. He wants to disfigure you. He wants to take you with him to the pit of hell. And one of the ways to the pit of hell is via a strange woman. And it's a dumb man that follows a strange woman. And so I want to show you what God has to say about strange women and dumb men. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. He says, my son, and he's speaking to the man, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light. And reproofs for discipline are the way of life. Now listen very carefully. To keep you from the strange, from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Have you ever had a girl come up to you and say, you're so neat. I was watching you on the basketball court. You've got great legs. Really great legs, Rick. And she stands there. And the next thing you know, Rick is sitting in class and somebody is passing a note down the aisle. And he opens that note. And it's a note from this girl that is just wild about Rick. And so with her smooth tongue, she begins to flatter him. Now listen, if Rick believes that and follows her, he is a dumb man. I tell you why. Because it's strange women that are on the make. It is strange women that are hunting down and pursuing the men. Write it down. It's very important. When God made man and God made woman, and we looked at that in our first session together, God brought the woman to the man. And the man left his father and mother, and he cleaved to his wife, and the two became one flesh. God designed a man so that a man is to be an initiator. So that's what you want to write down. Man is an initiator. Woman is a responder. Now, when God brought the woman to the man, it said, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says the man is to be the head over the woman. And as the head over the woman, the man is to be the aggressor. The man is to be the initiator. Do you know what I mean? I mean, in other words, that if you have a guy and a gal, that it is the guy that is to initiate the relationship, not the girl. Now listen, you can be friendly, you can be sweet, you can smile, you can talk to him, but don't pursue the man, because the man is to pursue the woman. That's the way God designed it. Even in the sexual relationship between a husband and a wife, the man is to be the initiator. The man is to be the aggressor. So a strange woman, one of the characteristics that you'll see about a strange woman, besides all these characteristics, but one of the characteristics that you'll notice about a strange woman is this, that she has a flattering tongue. So let's just put down some characteristics as we go along. It says, do not desire her beauty in your heart, nor let her catch you with her eyelids. Now, women know that the eyes have it. And what they'll do sometimes, I mean, is they will really, really just load their eyes down with makeup. And sometimes they load their own natural eyelashes with eyelashes on top of that. And it's all right to a certain degree, you know, as long as it looks becoming in that. But, I mean, when you get all that stuff piled on too much, you can hardly lift up your eyes. I mean, you can hardly see. But I have watched girls, and I can tell many times by looking at a girl whether she's a moral girl or an immoral girl. I can tell by her eyes, and I'll tell you why. There's a certain purity. There's a certain innocence in a girl that is not a strange woman. Let me just tell you about myself. After I left my first husband, who later committed suicide, but after I left him and before I ever became a Christian, I mean, I was a strange woman. I was on the hunt. I was looking for a husband. I wanted somebody that loved me, that would love me whether I was pretty or ugly, whether I was sick or well, whether I was in a good mood or in a bad mood. And I tell you, I would wear the attire of a harlot. I would go out and I might sit in a cocktail lounge with someone, and I could look across the room and communicate with my eyes. I've had men get up from across the room and come over and introduce themselves to me. I had sensuality just pouring out of me. And that's what a strange woman does. After I got saved, I ran around with three bachelors. I never messed around with them or anything. They were just real good friends. One of them was in love with me and wanted to marry me. But I ran around with these three guys, and they were kind of like surrogate fathers to my two boys. And as I ran around with them, they came to know me very, very well. And then I got saved. And several days after I got saved, they came over to my apartment. And they were sitting on the couch. And one of them just looked at me, and he started to shake his head. And he said, Kay. And I said, what's wrong? He says, Kay. He says, you're so different. And I said, amen, Dan's saying. And I said, well, how am I different? He says, you're so sweet. So soft, so beautiful. And he used to tell me before, you sure are sexy. But see, Jesus had changed me. And see, Jesus can do that with you. The eyes are the windows of the soul. I went to Italy, and I was just absolutely floored by the darkness in the people's eyes. And you just see, you can look at people's eyes. Well, this is what this gal does. She catches you with her eyelids. She's telling you things with her eyes. And it says, look at verse 25, do not desire her beauty in your heart. Now look, when you look at this mannequin up here, all right, we have been a little decorous, but she has on a camisole. Okay, and it is a sheer camisole. And she's got a cute little figure. She's got pretty good-looking legs, hasn't she? And she's got pretty hair and all these makings. And some of you guys may just stand there and go, like that. You know, you may have eyes for her. I mean, you may think, man, boy, what a hunk, a woman. And you look at her, and you're caught with her beauty. But I want to tell you something. Beauty is fleeting, the Bible says. It fades. Look. Look, look, it is fading. I was back, wrinkles, that's right. I was back there, and I'm 53, and I've got a lot of mileage on me, I go at a tremendous pace, and beauty is fading. Now, what's going to hold my husband? If he was attracted to me because of my beauty, then what happens when my beauty fades? What happens if it's just the sexual attraction and then somebody else comes along that's more sexy? Or somebody that offers themselves to him and he was drawn simply by my beauty or simply by my sex appeal. What's going to hold him? Listen, there's far more to a woman, guys, than a body. And there's far more to a man girls than a body. Some of the best looking girls in high school, they did a study. James Dobson told about it. Some of the best looking girls in high school, 25 years later, were the most miserable girls in their class. All they had was the physical beauty. Well, this is what this strange woman does. Look at verse 25. Do not desire her beauty in your heart. Do not let her catch you with her eyelids. For on account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread. Now, let me ask you a question. How much are you guys worth? Bread's gone up. But it's only about a dollar something a loaf. Aren't you worth more than a dollar something? And he's saying, look, when you are caught by a strange woman, when girls start writing you notes or they start writing you X-rated or R-rated letters, and they write you those kind of letters, I want to tell you something. If you buy it, if you fall for it, you've just sold your soul for about $1.39. Because her bed is the way to hell. Going down to the chambers of death. We're going to see it, but let me go on. It says, an adulteress hunts for the precious life. God looks at you and you're precious. He created you. He created you for himself. And an adulteress will come along, and if you guys follow her, if you guys are a dumb man and follow a strange woman and buy her flattery, buy the smoothness of her tongue, buy her, let her catch you as she hunts for you, then this is what's going to happen. She is going to take you, and she is going to destroy you. Watch what he says. Verse 27, can a man take fire in his bosom? And his clothes be not burned? Or can a man walk on hot coals and his feet be not scorched? In other words, can you pick up coals or a burning log and put it up to your chest and not get burnt? No. Can you take off your shoes and walk across hot coals and not get burnt? No. When you play with sex, listen, when you play with sex outside of marriage, and some of you said, when I asked you, what were your dating standards? How far can you go? And you say, well, it depends on how serious I am with him. And I'll let him touch me as long as I can control it. I want to tell you something. You're playing with fire. A friend of mine is a psychologist. And one day he had a young man come into his office, and the young man was a literal basket case. The guy sat down in his office and he was just sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. Finally, Dr. Brandt said, tell me, what happened? And the boy said, I've been gone with my girlfriend for a long time. And I took her home one night, a couple days ago. And her mom and dad weren't home, and so we parked in the garage. And I just turned on the music, and we were listening to it, and we started kissing. And she was a good girl. But things got hot, and I got her in the back seat, and we'd never done it before. But we went all the way. And when we finished, she sat up and got her clothes back on. And she began to cry. And she said, what if I'm pregnant? What if I'm pregnant? What am I going to tell my mother? And she began to cry hysterically. And it was pitch black. And I put my hands on her shoulders and I began to shake her because she was hysterical, literally hysterical. And I said to her, stop it, stop it, stop it. And he said, and I got hysterical. And he says, all of a sudden, he said, her head fell over on my hands. He said, she was dead. I didn't know. But with his hands around her neck, and in the darkness and in the hysteria of it all and the shaking, something happened to her neck and she was dead. When I was in nurse's training, I'm sorry, when I was out of nurse's training, and when I was working, I didn't know Jesus Christ. But one night, they brought a girl on our floor. And the girl was grossly ill. She had a real high fever. She had a real high fever because, and this was years ago when abortions were illegal, she had done an abortion on herself with a knitting needle. This girl had never dated. This girl was not a real attractive girl. And she called me to her room, and she said, I am hurting so badly. And her life was hanging in the balance. And I grabbed the bedpan, and I slid it under her. And she doubled over on that bedpan. And she brought forth a little fetus. And I remember taking that bedpan to the utility room there. And with my hand scooping out a tiny little baby in my hand. This girl lived in a resort town. And her parents rented boats. And a real good-looking guy came and rented one of the boats. And he began to flatter her. And she bought his flattery that time. He invited her to go out on the boat. And she went out in the boat. And he made love to her. Nobody had ever touched her before. She hadn't dated. He made love to her. And he left town. And she was pregnant. Listen to me very carefully. You can't play with fire and not get burnt. One of you here has shared with me that you played with fire and you got burnt and you're hurting so badly right now. And you've gone to God for forgiveness, and you've gone to God for forgiveness, and you still don't have forgiveness, or you don't think you have forgiveness. You see, it's not just a one-night stand, kids. The sexual union is for marriage. It's not for outside marriage. And the thing is that you light a fire, and you get it going, and pretty soon that fire is uncontrollable. And you find yourself doing things that you didn't mean to do, that you wish that you had never done. A girl went to a party. Somebody offered her something to drink. She took it. They offered her something else. She took it. They offered her something else. She took it. Till finally she was drunk. And a guy that she didn't even know came and took her by the hand and took her in and laid her down and had relations with her. And she was absolutely humiliated when she came to her senses and sobered up and found out what she had done. Strange women and dumb men produce fires that can destroy a life. Verse 28, can a man walk in hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is one who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not go unpunished. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy hunger, to satisfy himself when he's hungry, but when he's found, he must repay sevenfold. He must give all the substance of his house. The one who commits adultery with a woman is what? Lacking sense. If he's lacking sense, what is he? He's a dumb man. Several years ago, I went down to Daytona Beach area, just beyond Daytona Beach, actually, to a condominium that was loaned to us to write a course called Marriage Without Regrets. And I would walk the beach in the late afternoon, and I had one of our staff down there with me. I was walking the beach one afternoon, and I was coming down the beach, and I just loaded with teenagers because it was a vacation time. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and here was this huge bed sheet. I think it was a king-size bed sheet. And it said, "Get laid here." Now, I had been past that house the day before, and I noticed these high school guys running off of the roof of the house and diving into the swimming pool. And I thought, gosh, they need a mama. They need a mama to tell them, look, kids, you can break your neck. Johnny is a friend of mine. Johnny Erickson Todd is a good friend of mine. I have another friend that just died, and he was a diving accident. Also, paralyzed. And I thought, somebody needs to tell these guys that they shouldn't be doing that. But I didn't go up and tell them. But the next day, when I saw over the same house this big sheet that says, "Get laid here," I said, that's got to go. So I said to my friend, "I'm going up and talk to those boys. Do you want to go with me?" And she said, "I'll stay here and pray." So I have my bathing suit on. I'm walking the beach. And I start up the path to this house. And when I get close, some guys run in the house. I guess they figured that I might be responding to their sign. And they ran in the house, and they shut the door. So I walked up to the door, and a curtain pulls back, and I go, there's a girl hiding in the house. Two boys come out. And I said, "I want to talk to you." I said, "I saw your sign." And as I talked to them, I said, I just want to ask you guys a question. I said, would you like it if you found your mother in bed with another man?" I said, "No, ma'am." And I said, "Well, let me ask you a question. Do you want guys messing with your sisters?" Boy, they better not mess with our sister. And I said, "Well, let me ask you another question. If you had a daughter, would you want guys sleeping with your daughter?" "No." And I said, "I want to tell you something. Every gal that comes in this house and you guys sleep with her, you're sleeping with somebody's potential wife. You're sleeping with someone's daughter. You're sleeping with someone's sister. You don't want it to happen to your mother. You don't want it to be your potential wife. You don't want a guy to do that to your sister. What right do you have to do it to somebody else? Because every girl that you guys touch is somebody's daughter, somebody's sister possibly, and will in all probability be somebody's wife. Now, what right have you guys for a moment's satisfaction to go in and to take what belongs to a girl and what belongs to another and use it?" Now, God made you more than that. Chapter 6, verse 32, "The one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense." Now, listen very carefully. "He who would destroy himself does it. Wounds and disgrace he will find, and his reproach will not be blotted out." Now listen, let me ask you a question. It says, "My son, obey the commandments of your father." Listen to what your mother has to say. "It's a light unto your feet. It's a lamp unto your path." How many of you, would you please raise your hands, how many of you have mothers and fathers that have told you to sleep around? I don't see any hands. Now, I've had a few friends whose parents have told them, "Look, if you're going to sleep around, kid, this is how you take care of yourself." And the schools are saying that. And they're interviewing kids on television. They're sitting there. And they're talking to these kids, and they don't even blush. They're sleeping around. And they're saying, "Look, go to the school nurse or go to the clinic that's here at the school and get your contraceptives." That is not the answer. Because I want to tell you something. You can keep from getting pregnant, but you cannot keep from going to hell. And the Bible says that adulterers and fornicators and immoral persons will go to hell. Keep your hand in Proverbs 6 and go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation, and we want to look at Revelation chapter 21. In Revelation 21, verse 5, and he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost." There's a thirst inside of you, and I want to tell you something. No man and no woman can satisfy it. Only Jesus can satisfy it. I know. I went from one man to another man to another man, and they could never satisfy it. And I would hate myself afterwards, and I would say, "God, that is wrong, and I'm not going to do it anymore." And I'd go back out and do it again. And never did I know, and never did I realize, that someday I would look at my son, Tommy, and say, "Tommy, son, if I had known what I was doing, I never would have divorced your father. And son, I don't know if you saw me or not do immoral things with men." And I was praying inside of me, "Oh God, let him say no. Let him say no." And he looked at me and he said, He saw. If I didn't know the grace of God, and if I didn't understand the forgiveness of God, I couldn't live with myself. But I want to tell you something. Far worse it will be when you look face to face in the eyes of God. And God says to you, "I saw the letter you wrote. I saw what you did." And I want to tell you something, young lady. You've taken many men to hell. You've destroyed their lives because you were an adulteress, a strange woman hunting for a man that I created and I made to walk in my image. And a man that walks in the image of God is a man that walks in self-control. It is not a man that goes around like a dog in the city plaza. It's a man that realizes, listen very carefully, that his sperm is precious. Your sperm is precious because it has life in it. And you're not to cast it around the streets. Look at Revelation chapter 21. He says, "He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Now listen, an overcomer is a person that walks by faith. An overcomer is a person that believes their God. An overcomer is a person that says, "This is what God's word says, and I will believe it, and I will walk in the light of it." And 1 John 5 tells you that, and we don't have time to go there. Verse 8, "But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers." You know what the word sorcerers there is? Pharmakia. Pharmekia. Do you know what that means? The use of drugs for magical purposes. "And idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." What does he say? All immoral persons will end up where? In the lake of fire, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. Go back to Proverbs chapter 7. Verse 1, "My son, keep my words, treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching as the apple of your eye." Rick, lean forward your face for a minute. Open your eyes real wide. Will you let me go like that? Mm-mm. He's not going to let me stick his finger in his eye without blinking. The apple of the eye is the pupil of the eye. And this is what he's saying. He's saying that you're going to jealously guard God's commandments as the apple of your eye, the pupil of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the table of your hearts. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend, that they may keep you from a strange woman, from the strange woman who flatters with her words. For at the window of my house, I looked out through my lattice, and I saw among the naive, I discerned among the youths, a young man, look it, here he is, a young man passing by her window. She's been seducing him. She's been flattering him. She's been looking at him. She's been writing notes. And he's curious, and he's attracted. So he opens his shirt. He's taken time to grow through two hairs. That's all he can grow. And he pulls out the hair on his chest, and he puts on his gold chain. And baby, he's got his glasses on, and he is ready. And he doesn't know that he is a dumb man. Listen, he may be the top basketball player. I mean, honey, he may be able to dribble a ball. I mean, all sorts of things like that. You know, I mean, stuff him in everything. I mean, he may be the most envied man on campus. But when he starts to fall for this dumb, a strange woman, he becomes a dumb man. Listen, verse 7. I saw among the naive, I discerned among the youths, a young man lacking sense. Passing through the street near her corner, he takes the way to her house. He's following her. Listen, 2 Timothy 2:22, put it down. 2 Timothy 2:22 says that you and I are to flee youthful lust. When a strange woman comes by, when she starts to make a pass at you, when she's after you, when she's hunting for your life, listen, look out up here just for a minute. You need to 2 Timothy 2:22 it. I mean, you need to get out of there right away. Flee youthful lust is what 2 Timothy 2:22 says. In the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, in the darkness, and behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a what? Harlot. Now let's look at her. She's got on a miniskirt. It's suggestive. She bends over. It gets more suggestive. She sits down. She crosses her legs. It gets more suggestive. She's got her bosom exposed. What is she saying? She's saying, here I am. I want to tell you something. When you girls go around dressed in the attire of a harlot. Now, the attire of a harlot is this. It is an attire designed to show off your body. It is an attire designed to attract a man through your sexuality. And when you go around with the attire of a harlot, it's like you might as well put on the back of your back a little board. Like you girls and I see sometimes in shops, slightly soiled, greatly reduced in price. Slightly soiled, greatly reduced in price. If you have to catch a man through the attire of a harlot, and if you guys don't learn to keep your eyes under control, and we're going to talk about that in our next session. But if you guys don't learn to keep your eyes under control, you're going to fall for her, man. Boing! Your eyes are going to come out like that, roll around the ground, and you're going to be lost. Now watch what it says. She is boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. She's now in the streets, now in the squares, and she lurks by every corner. So she seizes him and kisses him, and with a brazen face she says to him, she's pursuing him. How do girls pursue boys? How do they pursue boys? Well, they pursue boys by writing notes. They pursue boys by sitting with them. They pursue boys by following them all the place, all around the place and standing around. They pursue boys through the telephone. See, girls used to call my boys. And they used to say, and as I taught teen meetings, I used to say, now listen, I want to tell you something. Nice girls don't call boys. You don't be calling the guys. If he wants you, he can call you. And I would have girls calling the house. Excuse me. Hello? Hello?
Hi, can I talk to David? honey, you've called before, I know. And you've hung up when I've answered. David's not at home. And I told you that if David wanted to talk to you, he would call you. Now, I want to tell you something, darling. Nice girls don't call boys. So I don't want you calling David anymore, okay? You let David...
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Bye. I've said it. Over the phone. I've picked up the phone. It's rung. I've answered it. And nobody's been there. Hello? I'm trying to teach. Hello? They hear the voice of the mother, and they hang up. And they'll call again and again, and you'll answer the phone, and no one's there, unless David answers the phone. And sometimes I've said, son, this girl's been calling you. Now you handle her. And you know what? David gets very disgusted with girls that pursue him. You see, our sons are not allowed to date until they're 16 and can spot a strange woman. And that's because we don't want any dumb men around the house. Do you know why? Because a strange woman will lead you to hell. Look at verse 21 of Proverbs 7. With her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. Suddenly, he follows her. Suddenly, his will is broken. Suddenly, his resistance is gone. As an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, so he does, now listen guys, he does not know it will cost him his life. Now therefore, my sons, listen to me and pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for many are the victims she has cast down, and numerous are all her slain. Her house, listen very carefully, is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Girls, we'll talk about it in our next session. Sometimes, it's really hard to say no to a guy because you love him and you want to meet his needs. But listen to me very carefully. If you have sex with him outside of marriage, your bed could cost him his life. Because no fornicator and no adulterer has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. And if that's your lifestyle, guy or gal, strange woman or dumb man, if that's your lifestyle, you're going to go to hell. God never made you for hell. He made you for heaven. And he'll stand there with tears in his eyes. And he'll say to you, with a broken heart, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. You loved a woman, you loved a man, you loved sex more than you loved me. Because you see, if you really love God, you'll keep his commandments. And if you keep his commandments, it'll keep you from strange women and dumb men.